And that, of course, is the danger. And this, by the way, is why Dr. Wolfgang Smith says we need to restore metaphysics to its proper place. Beyond physics, we'll get into the etymology of the metaverse and metaphysics in a little bit. But what Dr. Smith is saying, and keep this in mind when I get into that etymology, is that once we restore metaphysics to its proper place, sort of transcending beyond, over and above, as it were, governing and giving higher principles to physics, then we can make sense out of the actual insights and the valid and valuable discoveries that are made in the genuine sciences. And Dr. Smith takes it for granted that quantum physics is a reality, that the things that it observes are true, that it has a certain validity in the realm of the empirical sciences, but that you can make no sense out of the data that you get from it unless you're metaphysically grounded. And that's why I've been so excited to read much of Dr. Smith's work. I don't agree with everything that Dr. Smith says, but I certainly think that this is an extremely valuable contribution to the life of the intellect in the 21st century. All right, so people are losing their grip on reality, but it's not just academics. It's also now, you know, distilled down to the common man, of course, who for very little money can access the internet very easily and enter into this sort of parallel reality. So the lying mainstream media, of course, taps into this. The big tech allies of the lying mainstream media, you know, Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these entities, they present us with a parallel universe. They present us with something that's not real. They're constantly, and I'm talking about on the news. I'm not talking about people going deliberately into a video game, which they know is fantastic. I'm talking about when people say, okay, I'm gonna put down my video game and I want to see what's going on in the world. Click, and you turn on CNN, you turn on MSNBC, you turn on any one of these news shows, quote unquote, or talk shows or whatever. And what you're getting isn't reality. It's a sort of canned liberal lefty whatever, or even Fox News. I'm not a Fox News junkie, and I don't think anybody should be. Yeah, they have some decent features now and again. However, they're sort of pushing the agenda of, you know, the other party. And keep in mind, you know, the British have this expression in politics between the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party. They say that there's the evil party and the stupid party. The evil party is the Liberals, and the Conservative or the Labour Party is the Liberals. The evil party and the stupid party is the Tories, the Conservatives. So in this country, we have, you know, the evil party, the Democrats, and the stupid party, the Republicans. And as a friend of mine said, yeah, we've got the evil party and the stupid party, and it's hard to tell which one's which, because both of them seem to have both elements in them now. And I usually vote for Republicans, but as I often like to say, the only thing worse than a Republican is a Democrat. I'm not a loyalist to the party because they don't have my loyalties, because they don't have the loyalties of the Catholic faith. That's why. So this two-party system is kind of absurd, but that's what we're stuck with. So when you have news programs, news agencies, whatever, that are joined at the hip to these parties, as Fox is to the Republicans and everything else is to the Democrats, you're going to get the same stupidity that you get from the parties themselves played out in these various media agencies. So people are losing their grip on reality, not only in academia, as I said, but also the common man is that, you know, when Gilbert Keith Chesterton talked about the common man being this sort of repository of common sense, I don't know, you know, things hadn't developed as far as they have now, where the common man is plugged into this sort of matrix of a parallel universe, and he's getting a constant stream of very convincing lies. This technology wasn't so refined at the time of Chesterton, although, of course, even he and his allies, his intellectual allies, like, Hilary Belloc, were saying, yeah, the press is lying to us. So they were writing blistering critiques of the press in their day. So it's still with us, only it's gotten much worse. So that a lot of the common men's minds have been colonized by this parallel universe. All right. So while this parallel universe, of course, is not real, it does intersect with and sort of impact the real universe of our daily lives in very, very negative ways. But let's go back further. Ever since the dawn of information technology about 100 years ago, the goal has been mass manipulation. This is openly admitted by the father of public relations, Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud and the author of the 1928 book Propaganda. I believe I've spoken about this before on this show. Bernays is not somebody who should be ignored, not because he was a good man, precisely because he was a bad man, but he was a very influential bad man. He took Uncle Siggy's discoveries in the realm of psychology, which were based upon, you know, bad theories concerning human nature, but bad theories mixed in with some truth. And he took Uncle Siggy's insights and weaponized them. See, if Uncle Siggy had anything that was valid about his observances of the human condition, it was how people can be corrupted. He'd had no idea how to fix people. He just understood how they were corrupted. And he himself was corrupted, and you know, we find out about that in the lurid biographical details of his life. And in those lurid details parallel his theoretical development of psychotherapy and his ideas about psychology. And he's not the only one. I mean, the other father of modern psychology, who unlike Freud was not a Jew. Most of the leaders of psychology, most of the developers of modern psychology were Jews. But this other man who is a very, very significant figure in the history of modern psychology, Carl Jung is whom I'm speaking of, was a German Protestant. So Sigmund Freud, who knew Jung, who was his younger contemporary, wanted to make a kind of a Christian version of himself in encouraging Jung, because he wanted to advance his ideas beyond what his influence could be, because he knew that as a Jew, he could only have so much influence in, after all, Catholic Austria, or in you know, still largely, quote-unquote, Christian, and I'm using the broadest sense possible, Europe. So Freud was supposed to be, Jung was supposed to be Freud's sort of Christian disciple. Of course, they had a major parting of the ways. But both of them were perverts. Both of them were sexual deviants. And they saw so much of reality through that prism, which is very sad. So they understood about the corruption of the human condition. They didn't understand how to fix the human condition. They didn't understand what the true remedies were. And we have that in authentic psychology that comes from Aristotle, from St. Thomas Aquinas, and so forth. But we also have it mostly in the realm of grace, in the church. The church has the answers to these things. So back to Bernays. Bernays is Uncle Siggy's nephew. He took Freud's insights and weaponized them for the purpose of advertising. As I said, he's the father of public relations. But before it was called public relations, it was called propaganda. But in fact, he's the one who literally wrote the book called Propaganda, 1928. And in that book, he tells, you know, how we can have mass manipulation. He tells how, well, in any democratic society, you need people to control public opinion. I have the quote on our website. I'll have it linked to from the show details page for this episode number 303. But when you look into what he's saying, for over 100 years now, we've had, you know, if you think democracy is a good thing, which I think is itself delusional, but we haven't had democracy. We've had oligarchies run by the people who mass manipulate the common man. The poor slob who goes into the booth and votes for the idiot with the D behind his name, or the other idiot with the R behind his name. That guy thinks he's making a decision about who's going to run the country. Well, those guys don't even run the country, or most likely the state. Maybe the city, but even then, you have to get to the hyper-local level before the elected officials are actually people who are actually, you know, doing the decision-making and the governing. I mean, right now, of course, we have President Biden in the White House, quote-unquote President Biden in the White House, and he is sort of the enfant terrible of this system, right? He's the one who shows us that this man couldn't possibly govern. He's senile. He's incontinent. He can't remember where he is. He makes major policy decisions and then forgets about them when he's being interviewed. So he is in a sense the complete unraveling of this system that we've long had. Somebody who's a useful idiot, but here the emphasis is on idiot. And he's much more manifestly and palpably an idiot than your average elected hack. And he's such a political creature. He's been in politics for so long that he should know how it's done, but he forgot because he's senile. And I'm not attacking him personally for being senile. He can't help it. He was stupid and evil for running for an office that he couldn't possibly fulfill. Anyway, beyond that. So we have propaganda. We have people who mass manipulate, right? So in a democracy, it's supposed to be the demos. It's supposed to be the people who make these decisions, but they don't. It's the oligarchs. It's the manipulators. It's the puppet masters, right? That's who really calls the shots. And if you don't believe me, read propaganda. Read it. This man was hired by President Wilson to convince the American population that we had to go to war in World War I. Okay, so he's a professional liar. He's a professional propaganda spinner. And he was called into service, and he gave people the idea that if you're not for the war, you're not patriotic. Does that sound familiar? Anybody that opposes a recent stupid foreign war of the United States is somehow, oh, you don't support our troops. You don't, you know, you hate the military. You know, my son died in Afghanistan, and now you're saying he died in vain. Well, I'm not saying anything against your son. He was used. He's a victim. But people don't like to hear that sort of talk, right? But these are facts. But this is an old thing. It goes back to World War I, which is an unnecessary war. Edward Bernays was pressed back into service for his adopted country, the United States, when it was time to go to war in World War II. And when that happened, he came up with a whole propaganda campaign for that.